Good morning and afternoon, everyone. We're going to go ahead and get started with week four of the online course on data training for advocacy. This week, we're going to be talking about domestic resources and how to track domestic resources, really diving into the domestic budgets and what we see that's available from ministries of finance and the budgets that are available. But before we get started, I do want to just check in with everybody on course logistics, how accessing the course is going, anything on the exercises and assignments, anything on that, anything that people have been having difficulty with before we move on to the material for this week. I think we got almost everybody's assignments back for week one and two. I know there's only a few assignments that have come in so far for week three, and I've started going through those. For those who haven't done it yet, please do get them submitted soon so that they can be part of the just quick grading that we're doing at the moment, and so that we can get feedback to you as well. David, I see a hand. Go ahead.
Afternoon from Malawi. I think my experience has been, getting to the right link, getting to the right website to help you with getting the right answers. I think, especially for the second assignment, I think I struggled and I don't know how best to make it easy. I think in terms of framing the question so that you really direct yourself to the right link for answers on data. Yeah, I think that has been my experience.
Can you just explain that a little bit more, David? Was it because you submitted both assignments? So I just want to make sure I understand what you mean by the right link.
Yes, I think so far I've submitted all the three assignments for Global Fund, for PEPFAR. It's the second assignment, I think, because I've not yet gotten my PEPFAR response.
Yeah, the PEPFAR ones have not been sent back yet. They'll be sent back by Friday this week.
Yeah. So it's this where you are going into a website, a database, and you are scrolling around either a country or an indicator or a program. So the chances of that, you may be in the wrong window. That's what I'm talking about. So I don't know how it can be helpful that you really go into the right place. Based on the advice you have gotten at the top of the exercise, where you kind of advise us which links you have to go to for a particular question or a particular set of questions.
Okay, we can look at how to make sure that that's a little clearer in the assignments. Anything else from anyone on difficulties on course logistics or anything? Just one thing, and I'll send out an email and send it out to the WhatsApp group as well. Unfortunately, the Global Fund has changed its meeting times for the board, for the Global Fund board. Austin coordinates our activities with the Global Fund board. So they have started having meetings every Wednesday now from 7:30 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. New York time, which overlaps with this course. So that's why he's not on at the moment. He'll be joining late after that's done. But I think what we might want to do is propose to start half an hour later. So starting at 8:30 New York time, I believe that's 2:30 Malawi time, 2:30 Zimbabwe time, and 3:30 Tanzania time, instead of at instead of at 8 a.m. And we'll do a poll offline, but just want to make sure, want to let everybody know that that might be happening. Either that, or we'd have to switch the lectures to being on either Tuesdays or Thursdays, depending on sort of what people prefer. But hearing nothing else on course logistics at the moment, we're going to get into the actual material for this week, which is the domestic resources tracking. I know people have been really interested in this topic for a while. And just to say off the top that domestic resource tracking is one of the more difficult areas. It takes a lot of expertise and a lot of work to really dig into individual things. It's one of the most challenging activities that I think we can do in terms of tracking finances. Appropriately, every country budgets differently according to their own legal and political frameworks. There's no genuinely systematic way to look at information on domestic resources for health, which leaves civil society members always in a position where they have to establish such systems and do their own research themselves. That can be and is an enormous task when first starting out. It also requires developing country-specific expertise over time to gain familiarity with the processes, with the documents, with the meanings in all of the different tables, how they interact with each other, how all of those, how we look at the budgets, how we look at the expenditures. That's all country specific. And so we're gonna use today to try and dig into the different budgets that exist for, and budget documents that exist for Malawi, for Tanzania, and for Zimbabwe. And while we talk about the international multi-country tools that you see on the right side of the screen here for tracking domestic resources, we're not going to talk about them today unless we have time at the end. We think getting into the details of the actual national budgets and the expenditures that we see there is really much more interesting and where people are more interested in digging in. It's also just more reliable data. It's data that we can get out on a regular basis. These international resources are oftentimes really useful for doing comparisons across different countries, but only at a very high level of how much money is going to health overall. And that's all you're gonna get out of a lot of them. So we're gonna focus today just on the domestic budget pieces of it. And there's no real systems or tricks to get this right. It's really about digging in, getting your hands dirty, and starting to understand how these documents really work. Just before I start, I do want to flag the existence of the Open Budget Survey. This is a survey that's done every other year by the International Budget Partnership. And what it does is takes a look at the documents that are available, the budgets that are put out, the public processes that go into developing the budgets, and what the oversight mechanisms of the budgets are in every country. And they give scores then to each country on how transparent their budget is, how publicly accessible the budget is, what the public participation looks like in that, and what the budget oversight mechanisms really are. And here you're seeing the scores for a number of the countries, for Malawi on transparency, which I think is the big one that they pay the most attention to, 27 out of 100, Tanzania 17 out of 100, which we'll talk about in a bit. It's not one that I necessarily agree with. I think Tanzania's budget is actually pretty transparent. And so I'm interested to see, go back and look at why the score on that was as low as it is. Zimbabwe 49 out of 100 and Uganda 58 out of 100. I mention this just because from a policy perspective, It's a really valuable, Policymakers take it pretty seriously. This is the current front page of the Zimbabwe Ministry of Health and Economic Development's website, where they're promoting the fact that they got a 49 out of 100 on the transparency index, and raising it as one of the top three scores of African countries. It's actually not. They were sixth in terms of African countries, after South Africa, Uganda at 58, Ghana at 54, Namibia at 51, and Kenya at 50. But I mean, policymakers take these sorts of comparative references pretty seriously. We can use that to our advantage. When the Ministry of Health or Ministry of Finance itself is highlighting and promoting their score within it, it means that they care, right? And so we can use these sorts of things to make inroads. A lot of times where we're gonna have to start with certain amounts of advocacy is just on this piece about transparency, particularly around budgets. Because if the data aren't available to start with, we have to start the campaign with just getting access to the data. One of the things that the Open Budget Survey does that I think is quite ingenious is they have a tool actually available, which is shown here, which allows you to go through every single question that they're going to be asking for the 2021 survey that's going to come out in a couple of years. And they've defaulted the scores here. You can see on some of them on question one here, they're putting in the score from 2019 and how they got that and what that score was for 2019. And you can actually go in and change the score. And say, let's say for question two, instead of a B, Malawi got an A. And for question three, if we move these to an A, what happens to the overall score, right? And that's really useful because it allows us to identify for policymakers particular things that we want them to focus on that will improve their score and their ranking against other countries going forward. I just want to raise that because that push on policymakers can be really effectively done through these sorts of tools. It also enables us to look at every single question that they're asking, how they're analyzing those questions, and all of those sorts of things. Just going to the piece that we've talked about in the first webinar on this, which is about knowing how these surveys are developed, is important to understanding how to interpret them. So that's what I'm going to say about that. I think it is worth playing around with for yourselves. But we're going to turn now just to looking at domestic systems. And that's what we're going to talk about for the rest of the rest of today. And we talk about this particularly in the online module, and I want to just touch on it here, which is this piece about different spheres of government. And particularly, this is important to health and the way that health budgets are developed, responsibilities for health are assigned to different tiers of government. Every country has at least two tiers responsible for the provision of healthcare. Many have three, as are being shown here. And so why this is important is looking at, so national sphere, the Ministry of Health sphere, generally is focused on policy, so setting policies for the country, setting overall objectives for the country, regulation of the health professions, all of those policy issues that take place that have to be governed at a national level. But for actual service delivery, oftentimes they're focused at sort of central hospital level, where the employees of central hospitals are employed directly by the Ministry of Health. Specialist hospitals such as cancer institutes or anything like that, academic hospitals, these high level hospital infrastructures. Sometimes there's a mid-tier where they're looking at, you know, provincial hospitals, district hospitals, secondary level referral hospitals. Sometimes those are governed by a state level or a regional level, and oftentimes those are still governed by the Ministry of Health level. But sometimes there's a divide there in terms of who's responsible for actually budgeting for and employing the actual healthcare workers who are going to be in positions at those levels. And then there's oftentimes a local government, and this is the most common second tier that's necessary. A local, you know, local government agency that is responsible for primary healthcare services, the health posts, maybe including district health or district hospitals, maybe not including those. Oftentimes things like ambulatory services are done at a local government level and budgeted for at a local government level. Sometimes those budgets, the resources for those budgets come from national grants that come from the Ministry of Health. Oftentimes they come from central revenue. So revenue that's handed to the local government agencies or authorities as sort of, here's a big pot of money that's gonna go towards social services, including education, including health, including sanitation. You're responsible at the local government authority level, the district council level, whatever that local authority level is, for distributing the budget amongst your primary health services, amongst the ambulatory services, amongst all of the facilities that we've delegated authority to you for the specific direct service delivery. And that's just important to keep in mind because it matters for where we target advocacy. If we're just picking up problems that exist at, say, one or two districts, we think there are one or two districts that are particularly problematic, it may be that we need to take up issues with what's happening at the budget at the district council level or at the local government authority level, not necessarily at the national level, because the national level, the Ministry of Health, may be unwilling to intervene, or they may say, look, we're not responsible for how the budget is developed there. We're not responsible for how the budget is allocated there. We can put some pressure on, but the real decisions happen at the local government level. And that's just important for us to keep in mind. So that's what I'm going to say about that, unless there are questions on those tiers. We talk about the different tiers for each country in the online module as well. Just as we turn now to the publicly available data from the Ministry of Health websites, there's a couple of things that I want to say about how we oftentimes think about doing budget advocacy. And this is true how we think about it in the United States. It's true how we think about it in any country, right? Which is, there's sort of two different approaches. There's one about how much money is really going in, how much money is available, particularly to specific line items. So if I'm really interested in just the HIV funding level, or if I'm really interested in my local hospital's budget, you know, following that line item and making sure that line item is either going up and getting more resources, or at least staying the same from year to year to year, or is it decreasing, right? And that's why we've seen lower performance or something like that. The second piece of this, so that's the first piece, just monitoring individual line items and individual budgets to make sure that they're doing what we think they should be doing. The second is looking at how money is actually being spent, right? So let's say we know the amount of money available for the Ministry of Health overall is, you know, $3 billion or whatever it is. How is that $3 billion being allocated to different levels of health service delivery? How much of it is going into primary care versus these central hospitals? How much of it is going into healthcare workers as opposed to commodities procurement? How much of it is going into administration versus actual service delivery? Those are all important because that's also where we can get flexibility in terms of how money is allocated to see, and we've done this in PEPFAR, right? We do this at the country operational planning meetings where we say, look, we don't think you should be spending as much money on this. The big priority is over here. That's the type of engagement we can have with domestic governments as well when we get really involved in the domestic budget. So I'm going to just go through country by country here, you know, some of the documents that I see from Malawi, some of the documents that I see from Tanzania, some of the documents and budget data that I see available from Zimbabwe. And the point of this is to get one familiar with the documents that are available a little bit, get familiar with those documents that are available. But it's also to see the differences between what's available in different countries. As I said before, every country has their own approach to budgeting. Every country has their own political dynamics, has their own structure for the healthcare system. And so every budget is different. But because of that, we can see from some countries data that's available in that country that's not available in others. And we can use the fact that they're available in some countries to put pressure on our own policymakers for what we want to see. For instance, using the fact that, you know, in Malawi's budget and budget information, we can see the total number of people being employed in the healthcare system every single month. And we could use that in, say, Tanzania to go to Tanzania policymakers and say, we want to see that type of information too. We want to see the number of healthcare workers who are employed on a month-to-month basis. How much is that costing us? Where are they based, right? Likewise, we could use Tanzania's budgets that have individual hospital allocations where we can see each individual hospital and how much money they've been allocated in Malawi to say, we want to see that type of information as well, right? So we want to move in that direction. And that just allows us to go into policymakers and say, look, it's not unprecedented for this type of information to be available. Okay, so here I'm going to move into here's looking at Malawi. In this case, we're looking at the 2019 to 2020 mid-year budget review. And what these mid-year budget review documents really do, it's basically a report of performance halfway through the fiscal year. It focuses on high-level spending and whether that high level spending is on track with the budget that was approved by Parliament. And then whether there's any anticipated changes. In sort of the report language, you can go through it, you can search for health, you can search for different pieces of it to really look at individual write-ups of how the policymakers are looking at some of the different line items. So here we see an example where the 2019-2020 mid-year budget review called out specifically the drugs, right? How much money was being spent by the health system on drugs. There was an allocation of 26.7 billion kwacha for the financial year. Of that amount, 15.6 billion was for district hospitals and health services. So those at the lower level, 11.1 billion was for the central hospitals. And then thus far, they've spent 23.8 billion or just over 51% of the budget. That's useful information. It seems like they're pretty much on track, right? Halfway through the year, you should be spending about 50% of the budget. And then we can see, whether that remains on track throughout the year. If you saw 80% of the budget being consumed, I think that would be a reason to start asking questions and raising concerns about it. The other thing that you can see there's in the table that's in green below is the Ministry of Health budget overall. This is actually just looking at recurrent expenses. Recurrent expenses in budget speak are those that happen that are just part of the day-to-day running of a ministry or of any sort of services. So it's the employees, the salaries, which is what you see there in the first row that's called personal emoluments. Personal emoluments is just the cost of employees, salaries, benefits, any if there's health insurance within the system, any HR costs, any other things like that. And then other recurrent transactions are things like goods and services that are necessary for and just regularly happen, right? And are part of the day-to-day operation of the system. What's not here is things like one-off costs. So if there's one-off construction costs or one-off things like that, those would not be classified as recurrent costs. And we can see those elsewhere in the report. But what we're seeing here is, you know, there's 62 billion kwacha that were approved as part of the budget that was approved by parliament in total recurrent expenses. Mid-year projections where they were going to spend about 30 billion of that. They've actually only spent about 28.9. That's the mid-year actuals, is how much they've actually spent at this point. And then we see that they've increased the health budget by 4.9 billion kwacha at the mid-year point. They decided that there was going to be a cost underrun, probably because their personal emoluments, the salaries, were coming in significantly higher and was probably not going to decrease than what they originally anticipated. So they're now looking at spending a lot more in the second half, 19.2 billion, instead of what would have been a budget of about 16 billion that they had originally anticipated. So this just allows that sort of high level overview. One of the other things it does have also is local councils, how much local councils are being allocated for health as well. So here we're just looking at the local council budget and recurrent costs again, and we see that health sector line, the bottom row here, doing those exact same things. So there's 9 billion or 8.8 billion. Just going to mute. There's 8.8 billion that was approved. There's about 4.5 billion spend through, and they anticipate being on track with this. So this is just some of the high level information that's available in Malawi. I will say, I think Malawi has one of the higher level budgets, meaning that it stays at a high level. It doesn't get into a lot of detail in what's available publicly. This is another way to look at the data in Malawi. There's the 2019 to 2020 monthly vote-wise expenditures by economic classification. And this is really useful. It's one of the things that Malawi does uniquely that I haven't seen in other places, where Malawi puts out monthly reports on their budget on how far they've gone, how much expenditure has happened, what the monthly expenditures to date have been. Unfortunately, those aren't actually produced every month, or they produce them every month, they just haven't made them available online every single month. But that's a thing that we could continue to advocate for, to say, look, we appreciate these monthly reports, we think they're valuable, and we want to use them, and we need to get put some pressure on to make them actually put them online every single month when they're done. Here we're seeing, again, sort of at a high level, but for the Ministry of Health vote, the votes in every country are the way the budget is broken up. So just, you'll get used to seeing that language. Each vote is generally towards an individual ministry or to an individual district council or things like that. Here we see the total available for the Ministry of Health. The total approved budget was 87 billion. Revised budget is staying the same as of this month. This was as of November. How much money has been released to date, which is about 26 billion kwacha or so. These are rounded up, obviously. These are in thousands of kwacha. And then PE here again is the personal emoluments. That's the salaries that have been spent, goods and services, transfers from other line items. So they got 7.9 million more in transfers. And then capital expenditures is generally things like construction, maintenance, major maintenance on buildings, renovations of buildings. Those are sort of the capital expenditures that we would have. Dev 2 and Dev 1, I'm not actually quite sure. I haven't been able to figure that out yet within the Malawi budget. But it's another thing where we could go in and we could start asking about. And then we see these useful graphs, or these useful percentages of, you know, how much has really been spent, how much has been outlaid. Yeah, we've talked about that being really important in the context of Global Fund, right? Of seeing the absorption rates, the expenditure rates, seeing all of that happen. And in Malawi, we can see that on a month-to-month basis when these documents are really being produced. Are they continuing to spend in the way that we would anticipate them spending. By the way, please just interrupt me if you have any questions on these documents as we go through them, because it's really important that we understand what's going on in these. So just interrupt or raise your hand if you want to raise your hand.
Yeah.
David?
You can hear me, Brian?
Yeah.
If you go to the previous, the slide that you just removed.
Yep.
Yeah, so you have released YTD. I saw a lot of this even in the previous databases. Yet to be determined. What are we talking about here?
No, YTD, and this is a great point, just apologies for vernacular. The YTD is year to date. So it's how much has been spent up through when this report was produced. So this report was produced in November. So it's the spending for the fiscal year through November. So YTD is year to date. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Great.
Hello. Hello, Brian.
Go for it.
Yeah, this is Eric.
Hey, Eric.
From Malawi as well. Yes, I wanted to concur with you in your observation, which you have made regarding our budget, national budget in Malawi, that indeed one is able to get the expenditure or the figures at national level, but You it's hard for one to get the breakdown at district level, because like at district level, one thing I have learned during our exercises when we go into the districts to collect data, I have learned that in some districts, for instance, you have a district hospital. Like those of us that work in HIV are interested in issues around those, you notice that. So we have a district is called a cost center. In other words, all the small facilities, budgets from the small facilities, they are aggregated, and the total figure is done by a district hospital. So it's like a hub, a wheel and a hub, where the district hospital is the cost center. And then you have on the sides, you have the facilities with their badges. And when they do their badges, they are sent to the district. And then the district aggregates a district budget, which is now sent to the central office, that's the ministry, where now the ministry comes up with the total budget for the ministry. So you can only, as you have said, you can only get data at national level. And when that money is disbursed to the districts, it's really, really, really very hard for you to trace, for instance, say this money went to, let's say, Mangoch District Hospital. How much money went to, let's say, Monkey Bay Community Hospital? You find that it's very, 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 very hard for you to do that. Even when it comes to, let's say, recruitment, you notice that recruitment is done at national level. Of course, we are well aware, like in the last 2 years, the push has been to go for decentralization. And right now, yeah, there is that talk about decentralization, where the policy states that recruitment should be done at district level. However, you find that much as we have that policy, decentralization policy, it's not being rolled uniformly across all the 28 districts. Having provided that insight, it's also interesting to notice that. So in the national budget, you only get resources from of course direct aid, and then of course from our domestic resources. But it's very interesting that for you to track down resources for HIV, it's also very hard. It's also very hard. We have the donor group, it's called Haji, where they put in their resources. But for you to really track down, to say, I would like to find out how much, for instance, on HIV, in terms of prevention in Malawi, how much did Malawi, let's say, financial year, let's say, 2019, how much money did Malawi receive on, how much money did we get for prevention, HIV prevention activities? That you may have struggles. Of course, it may be easy, let's say, to get money. I mean to get figures for, let's say, commodities. But other interventions, it's really hard to pick those bits and pieces for you to get a real picture on how things are or the funds or the monies are being spent on each and every item one may be interested to know. I wanted to make that comment. Thank you.
Yeah, no, I think, Eric, that is a phenomenal comment. And like, it is one of the biggest problems and why we talk about the different spheres of government and spheres of authority. Because it is part of that point of, we have to understand how to get down to those lower levels of funding. And that to get to those lower levels of funding may require that we do advocacy just around the transparency of the budget first, right? That we can't necessarily get to what we want right away. I think that is particularly true for Malawi. As we'll see in Tanzania and Zimbabwe, there's a little bit more of a way to look at some of this information that's not as readily available in Malawi. And I think that is a point that we really need to do advocacy around directly on those pieces. Atu, is that you wanting to raise a question or? Okay. Just the last piece on Malawi quick. One of the things that I did find quite valuable in Malawi that I think is something that we could start to look at, just to your point, Eric, there is the payroll performance report that I found. And the payroll performance report comes out monthly or comes out quarterly with the different months. So this is looking at quarter two. This is the quarter two report for the 2019-2020 year, which goes from October to December. What I find really interesting about this particular report and ways that we could think about this particular report is it shows the number of employees for each ministry and also for each district council. Now, this is not just the number of healthcare workers. It's not at that level, but you know, for health, most of those people are going to be healthcare workers, right? Particularly when we look at the CHAM facilities, where how many employees are being funded by the Ministry of Health at CHAM facilities, and we can see their spending, right? And we can see whether those numbers are going up, whether they're going down. Now, I would say month-to-month fluctuations on these numbers are probably not that meaningful and not the thing to pay attention to. But if we started building an advocacy campaign around human resources for health, we could look at, are there really enough healthcare workers being allocated here? Are we seeing the number of employees going up over multiple years as we collect these data?
And then thank you.
Likewise for the business councils, we could start looking at those numbers as well and see, you know, are we seeing big differences? Should Blantyre have, you know, almost twice as many employees as Balaka? Now, this is overall district council employees. It's not just health employees, but a lot of them are going to be health employees that are part of the district council authority. a lot of them will also be education employees and things like that. Walter, I see a hand from you.
Yes, thank you, Brian. This is a very interesting topic, domestic resources tracking. I'm looking at the Zimbabwean scenario where, of course, there could be data available, but also the issues of barriers such as political will. There might be no political will, so it might be a bit difficult to then access the information, especially when it then comes to the actual utilization. Because you go to the national level and then there's allocation. Maybe they say, we've allocated 10% to health. But the question is, how much of that is really then actually disbursed to the provincial and district level? And after that disbursement, how about the efficiency? Is the money going to the right sector or to the right issues? Like you are saying, issues of human resources for health. Are we targeting the real issues? Like now our health delivery system is in shambles as a country. So obviously there are certain areas that we need to target, commodities, human resources for health. So it would be interesting to then see how one can be able to track this where there is no political will. And in our country, we also do have the AIDS levy to then also say how much was collected. And as you know, our currency is always up, and I don't even know whether we should talk about our currency, but that's also a huge issue to then see some of the funds getting eroded while in accounts. So it's a bit very difficult here also.
Yeah, I agree. We will talk about the Zimbabwe budget and what I think is available from the Zimbabwe budget that we are able to use, but overcoming that political will is always going to be a challenge. And I think that that's true regardless of whether we're looking at budgets or whether we're looking at any sort of problem, right? And so we do have to figure out strategies, and that's where we get into advocacy strategies and campaign strategies. Those have to be designed around how we deal with the political will, how we deal with those challenges of how to get policymakers to care about changing the structures and changing how they're investing. But that's an advocacy strategy as opposed to sort of the data side of what's available at this moment, right? And part of our advocacy strategy may have to be about what data should be available. But I do want to touch on this point about sort of what's available from Zimbabwe. And I do want to get there because I think it's really important. And we do have some information for Zimbabwe on that just later in the presentation. So let's circle back after we've done that. So that's what I've got for Malawi. We talk about more documents that are available for Malawi in the online module as well. For Tanzania, I want to just flag one thing, and many countries do this. They produce citizens' budgets, and it's actually one of the things that the Open Budget Survey does score every country on, is whether there's a citizens' budget available. What these citizens' budgets really do is just they're really useful for breaking the budget down into the categories that exist and the priorities for government spending. They're very simplified. They're not useful in terms of getting into individual detailed data, but sometimes they have call outs for different line items. Like, we're gonna put X amount into the HIV response. We're gonna put X amount into the TB response or things like that. As we see here, we get some about, you know, 4 billion shillings for construction of a private ward at Mahimbili National Hospital. We get some specialized services at, you know, the cardiac center. And so you get some of these breakdowns in the citizens budget that are just simplified ways to access that information. I raise it just because it is a really useful tool for getting your head around what the budget overall looks like when you're first starting to dig in, and some of the things that you can look at to try and find. Again, it's not really the main source that you're going to go to when you want to dive deep into the budget itself. So what else is available in Tanzania? There's financial audit reports. These are really useful. What's good about them is a third party is employed to come in and review financial records for the year and then make a determination of how well finances were being handled over the year. In Tanzania, the way this works is there's a constitutionally established position of the Auditor General. And the Auditor General is then responsible for going in and reviewing every single ministry finances and all of their expenditures, and every year producing a report about those expenditures. One of the things that's really important about audit reports is because they're done by third parties, and they're often done to support and to confirm to donors, to organizations like the Global Fund or World Bank, that the money is being well tracked. It's part of that oversight score that we saw earlier from the Open Budget Survey. So they're taken very seriously, which doesn't mean that there aren't shenanigans that can be played with it, but is sort of a really important piece of how to think about these data. In Tanzania, what we see is we get these sort of high level numbers for the Ministry of Health, Community Development, Gender, Elderly, and Children. And we see how much was going to, again, personal emoluments, the salaries and things like that, and other development costs to the tune of about 620 billion shillings. This is the second table that we're looking at, the statement of the D fund. These are development assistance funds that come in, and they account for them of how much money is going into the Ministry of Health through these development channels. And you can see here the Global Fund is there at 173 billion shillings. We see World Bank putting some money in, we see UNFPA putting some money in, we see UNICEF putting some money in, but the Global Fund obviously being the largest of those. And all of that money is going into the Ministry of Health. And so that's a really useful way to see who else is involved in health. We also get statements of losses, which can be useful to track over time. These are just things that have gone wrong or where we've experienced some losses for whatever reason. Here we're seeing about 15 billion worth of losses, 15 billion shillings worth of losses in, I believe this is going to be medical stores. So it's just commodities that were at some point lost throughout the period. That doesn't mean fraud or anything like that. It could mean that supplies were expired or something like that. We may have experienced something like the transition to TLD at this period where you might see some losses related to having procured a bunch of nevirapine, for instance, that we're not going to use or something along those lines. They're important to track over time. In a single year, it's hard to make sense of the numbers, but you can get some assessment of what's happening with those numbers through the report language itself. The main piece of the Tanzania budget, though, is done through these budget books, volumes 1 through 4. So volume 1, financial statements and revenue by vote, so that's by ministry or department. Volume 2 is estimates of public expenditures for each ministry. Volume 3 is estimates of public expenditure for each region. And then 4 is estimates of public expenditures for development expenditures. We're not going to talk, volume 1 just very briefly shows where different agencies and ministries are getting revenue from. usually these revenue generation is not a significant portion of the budget when looking at a Ministry of Health level. We can see here, like, this is all the professional councils and the fees that they assess to health professionals for just being registered as part of the profession. For reference, this, you know, they get about 6 billion shillings from this. They got about 6.8 billion in last year, and then they're anticipating about 6.4 billion this year. For reference, you know, the overall health department expenditures are somewhere in the order of 415 to 550 billion shillings. So, you know, as a percentage of the budget, it's not really a big part of the budget, but might be useful for us to think about at some point if we want to do a campaign about some of these, this revenue generation. As volume two, we're not going to talk about because volume two makes up a bunch of the exercise and the assignment for this week. But it has the Ministry of Health, the core Ministry of Health budget in it. And we really want people to look at that as part of the assignment for this week. Volume three is interesting because it's broken up into, you know, as we were talking with Walter, the different regions and talking with Eric, the different regions and lower level allocations. So this is broken down. Here we're looking at Mara region and the districts that are part of Mara region and how their programs are allocating resources. So we can see in here that the top, we're seeing the district budget for Musoma. We see how much is going into general admin support for Musoma from the Mara region, from the Mara region budget overall. And we get things like pensionable posts, basic salaries, things like that. We can also see, you know, regional hospital level. We can get regional hospital budgets, how much is going into salaries, how much is going into allowances, some of these different line items. One of the things that I have noticed is that the budget seems to have changed over the last couple of years. And so it's going to be something for us to keep in mind going forward about what these different line items are going to be when we start looking at the budget for next year, as well as how we track some of this over time. It looks like there's been a reconstruction because you see that basic salaries, pensionable posts going from 3 billion shillings a year down to 211 million at the regional hospital level here. And it's something that we should dig into a little bit more just to understand. But it's the type of information that's available through these volume three budgets. There's also these transfers to local government, to the local government councils and local government authorities, where we see transfers to local government in cash to support primary education, to support public health services. We unfortunately don't get lower than this at this point. So we see overall in Mara region that 23 billion shillings worth, 23.5 billion shillings worth were transferred to local government authorities for the purposes of public health services, right? And so we could start looking at that also on a region by region level. Is every region allocating similar levels to local government authorities to deliver these public health services? And we could start comparing against regions. If we think there are regions that are doing better than other regions, is that because there's more resources available in those regions? And we can do those cross comparisons by digging into the actual budget itself. Volume four is broken down both into, again, the ministry level as well as the regional level. And here we can start to see some differences in how things are playing out. One, we see at the Ministry of Health level, we can see allocations to Ocean Road Cancer Institute. We can see it to the Cardiac Institute, how much money the National Ministry of Health was putting into those individual institutes. And there's a bunch more in these tables that we could go through program by program. There's multiple programs. Here we're looking at in the top curative services, there's prevention services, there's general administration, There's a number of different services where we can look into those individual budgets. How are they allocating the budget between these different levels? And is that the level that we want to see as civil society about how they're choosing to allocate resources? One thing here that's unique in Tanzania, we do see in the preventative services line, the HIV/AIDS control program has an individual line item there. But if you look at the header of the table above, we see the estimates for how much is being spent in local currency and how much is being spent in Forex, foreign exchange. And what we get out of this is really the HIV/AIDS control program that Tanzania is funding is really coming all out of Forex. So pretty much this is coming out of that global fund budget that we saw allocated earlier in the audit report. So this allows us to see, are domestic resources being plowed into the HIV program or not? This is one way that we can look at that in Tanzania. We can also see where other people's money is going to in Tanzania as well. There's also some transfers to local government authorities, again, on public health services. We can see constructions of district hospital. We can see strengthening primary health care, health sector basket funds. We can see some of these other areas where we can start digging in and diving into the data about what's available and how much is being transferred to different local government authorities. Again, we get this at the regional level. This is looking at MARA, MARA region. And so we can start then dividing that up into, I think it's four districts that are within MARA. And we can combine that then with data from PEPFAR and from others to look at where we do get sort of performance reports at the regional and at the district level. Just lastly, we're turning to Zimbabwe, unless anybody wants to stop and ask questions quick about Tanzania, recognizing time, we're a little short on time. Maybe just let's rush through Zimbabwe real quick or touch on Zimbabwe real quick. And then we can have a quick discussion about where we are or about any questions that people have. So one of the unique things, and we're just going to talk about one document in Zimbabwe. One of the unique things about Zimbabwe is they actually provide their budget at least for 2019 and 2020, or for 2020 in Excel, which is great because then we can actually run our own calculations on things. It's much easier. We don't have to do it manually. We can use Excel to do some of that. How the Ministry of Health's budget is broken up in this Excel document, the proposed estimates of expenditure, we get the different program areas, policy administration, public health, primary health care, and hospital care. We go in detail on this in the online module to go over the primary health care. We can also see how much is going into compensation of employees, the use of goods and services, social benefits, how much is going into machinery and equipment, all of those sorts of things. We can track those over time. Are they changing? Are they getting the increases that we think they should be getting? In the 2019 version of this, we could also see the individual hospital allocations. If we go back to that, we can see individual hospital allocations. I don't see that in the 2020 version. Hopefully we can go and ask for it if we wanted to get into that level of detail. Each of these programs in the Zimbabwe budget is also then broken up into different sub-programs. So within the public health program area, we can see program management, we can see the budget for communicable diseases, for non-communicable diseases, environmental health, research and development, family health. We can see how much again is going into wages and salaries. This is just looking at, again, the public health program. But as I said before, because it's in Excel, we can easily do some of these calculations. So I just did in the ones in yellow here to see what proportion of the public health budget, for 2020, the total public health budget is $439 million. And what proportion of that was going into program management, to the communicable disease sector, to the non-communicable disease sector. Where we see you know, about 7% was for administration, about 22% was for communicable diseases, about 30% was for non-communicable diseases. And the advantage here is we can then track that over time. We can see they're planning on expanding the budget for public health overall in 2021, 2022, going to 490 million, then 514 million. But we can see then, are these increases proportional or are they prioritizing increases in some of the budgets overall? And we do see that, right? So even though the budget for non-communicable diseases is going up from 128.6 million to 138.2 million over that period, as a proportion, it's actually coming down of the total funding for public health. It's coming down to 26-27% instead of staying at nearly 30%, 29.3%. And that's just a way for us to start tracking this and say, look, we think you should be moving money from this line item to that line item because this is the more important line item. And as civil society, we want to see these particular programs being funded, and here's why. We also see, we can also do things like how much is going into compensation of employees, how much is going into costs for employees, where the overall cost for employees in these areas is actually quite low. It's 3% in 2020, it's expected to go to 7% in 2022. You know, what is that money really going to? Most of the expenses in this budget are going into training and development expenses. And we could then ask questions, okay, we're spending 80% of this overall $439 million on training and development expenses. What are those? And we can go and ask questions to the Ministry of Health about that. If most of our budget is going into this, we should be able to get access to it in more detailed fashion. One of the other things that is in here that I'm not showing here is targets. So we do, and we talk about this a little bit in the online module as well, is the budgets oftentimes come with targets as well, which is really useful for just assessing and gives us a platform to move into to start discussing what those targets should be and actually holding them accountable. Unfortunately, similar to national strategic plans, oftentimes they're not really held accountable for them. And so that's just something to be aware of, but someplace where we can start building some advocacy around it as well. So that's what I had planned for today. I'm gonna open it up for questions, recognizing we're over on time, but I'm free to continue to go over questions and think about this a lot more. This is one of the hardest things to do, I think. It took me a long time going through a lot of these different documents to really start understanding what was available and what's not available in different countries. I see a hand, Chipo.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
From this data, I also noticed that, I think I've got a poor network. I hope you are hearing me.
I can hear you fine.
Okay, from this budget line, the public health budget line, it is budgeted according to programs, but being a Zimbabwean, I know that our budget is basically bio-model oriented, where you find that most of this budget is going towards treatment. And even when you look at the human resources at health facility level, at the ward level, you will find those who are responsible for treating, they are available, but those who are responsible maybe for health education or prevention, they are available from district level. So in terms of staffing, you'll find even if they do the human resource budgeting, they're not budgeting for having someone who is solely responsible for prevention activities at ward level, because we know that it's very expensive to treat, and we know that some of these expenditures could be avoided or could be reduced if only people at village level or at ward level have got some health education to prevent these diseases. So I'm also seeing that as a gap in this budget, where we are budgeting more for treatment than for prevention. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's a good point about how we do some of the advocacy. I mean, here we're looking at the primary health care and hospital care budget. And, you know, just to say, we're looking at this, you know, and about 25 to 30% of the primary health care and hospital care budget is going into just these central hospitals, the relatively few central hospitals. And that may be an area where we want to take that up. We recognize the importance of them, obviously. But is that the right proportion of the funding to be going into those? And should we be reallocating more of that into things like you say, prevention services and things like that? And that's where we need to do the advocacy around how this is really working. We could also look at the local government transfers. They are available in the budget as well. I don't have them pulled up at the moment, but that would be another area where we could start looking. Hastings?
Thanks, Brian, for the presentation. I'm of the view that one of the reasons why some governments are not transparent on providing data as far as the budget is concerned is because it actually puts them at a place whereby you can actually see the things that they're supposed to do, but they are not doing. And how do you address that as actually civil society? How do you maneuver around such cases? Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point. And I think, you know, part of it does go back to what we touched on earlier with the open budget survey. And I think there is some really good advocacy to do around the open budget survey and saying, look, from international standards and even in comparison to other African countries, Malawi in particular or whoever is behind where we should be, you know, or showing that this particular piece of the score is we're really failing on this particular piece. Can we improve that? In terms of, you know, this just is a piece about uncovering and getting into how do we overcome political will to make these data more available and more accessible. I think part of that we do by showing that it's really important, where we do some analyses on the budget that's available. We can dive into some of these pieces and say, look, according to your data, you're putting in 25% of your budget, or you're putting in 30% of the overall health budget into central hospitals. We disagree with that. Very few people get care at the central hospitals. We think there needs to be a lot more at the primary healthcare level. Maybe that's a campaign that we start building, things like that. And then they have to respond to that campaign with more data, right, about how they're allocating the budget or how they're going to respond to that in terms of reallocating the budget. You know, it's difficult. It's a lot of things that we have to work through, but we can, I think, build some really strong campaigns out of the data that are available by getting creative with them. Nelson?
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Brian. Jesse, I have one question just to get more right. Do we have any standard criteria that can guide us to understand that when we are tracking these domestic resources, that to understand that the budget is based on the transparency and the openness? Do we have any standard criteria on this?
So that is, I think the standard material there is, I think the one that I would point to is the open budget survey. I think that's the sort of most standardized way that we can look at it. But we could also look at, you know, individual things if we wanted to get into that level. If we wanted to do, we could do, like, let's say in Tanzania, we wanted to do an assessment of the HIV budget and what's available through the HIV budget or something like that. We could do an in-depth analysis of, say, five countries and build a report to say, what's the comparative information available from Kenya, Tanzania, Zimbabwe, Malawi, and Uganda, for instance, and do that in-depth analysis to write a report that says, look, Tanzania, compared to these other countries in the region, you're not doing as well, and we want to see improvements on those fronts. But a lot of these are going to be individual efforts. We're going to have to go and build those campaigns. Otherwise, the Open Budget Survey does provide, I think, a really good platform to build on to look at this sort of stuff. To say, in general, the budgeting practices and the transparency of the budget in our country is not meeting the standards of other countries.
Thank you.
Other questions? You know, unfortunately, there aren't a lot of tools that are available to look through these. Uganda, actually, I will say, I looked at theirs. They do have an online dashboard for their budget, for their domestic budget, where you can get individual hospital budgets. You don't get it broken down, but you do get this hospital got exactly this amount of money, and it's every single facility in the country. And that's a really useful thing to build on as well, that we could, you know, build a campaign around for other countries to say, we want to see this level of transparency as well. Uganda can do it, so can we. Any other questions?
Hey, Ron, this is Austin. Brian, I just wanted to circle back quickly on what your response to Hastings' question, which I think is a really good one about, like, how do we actually do the advocacy work to improve access to some of this data? And I think one thing to think about is that in the domestic space, there are a lot of people who aren't in the HIV community space that also would benefit from access to more detailed data. That includes other people doing advocacy around health, that includes people doing advocacy around education, that includes people in the press or journalists and things like that. And I think one thing that we can do is work with other people who also would benefit from a little bit more detail to understand what their needs are and what they can help bring to that conversation, and perhaps that's a way forward.
Great. Well, if there aren't any other questions, I think we'll close. Thank you, everybody, for staying on. Let us know if you have any other issues, and we will circle back next week. Remember, tomorrow we have office hours from 9 to 11 New York time. I think that's 3 to 5 Malawi time and 4 to 6 Tanzania time. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks a lot, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.